Could you just tell me what university was like when you were there during the war?
Of course, I was there just about the end of the war, and the feeling when we first arrived at the campus was that the war had now been on for approximately 5 years, and most of the students had come up through a wartime era in high school and were adjusted to the fact that there was a war on and were used to belonging to cadet corps and being part of what we had out there was the ROTC. And they were used to the various shortages that did exist. The university temple was starting to pick up. In other words, the number of students was increasing over what it had been, but still many of the activities of the students were limited by the spirit that existed at the time, that there weren't a lot of the sporting activities, there weren't a lot of the student activities that weren't really considered necessary. There was still a certain feeling of austerity. There was still most of the students on the campus were very young. It was a much younger group than existed even a year later, and certainly 2 years later as the veterans started to return. It was more an extension really of high school, and we had all the only the main feeling was one, of course, of suddenly being pushed into university and finding yourself in rather a new ambient. The year I went out there, of course, was the first year that President McKenzie was on the campus, and the interesting aspect that, of course, changed considerably later was that you really did have a much closer relationship with your professors, and there was a closer relationship on the campus. It wasn't, even though the campus did at that time, I think, have 5,000 to 6,000 students, there was still a feeling that you knew most of the people either in your faculty or either in the particular grouping that you had several years.
Any amusing things you can remember? Vis-a-vis the students or professors or the school of life?
Not so much in the first year, because in the first year you usually get sort of so caught up in just trying to find your own way. The real key, I guess, of the years from about 44 to 48 was the formation of the Jokers, which was a group that had never existed on campus before. And under Dave Hayward, I put this in as rather an aside, because he was the leader of the Jokers, and probably this was a group who were perhaps, if nothing more, in contrast to the life that many of them had led in the services, were the ones who really created the hijinks on the campus. It was rather an interesting study in that instead of the younger students who were coming out of high school being the ones who were sort of involved in the hijinks, it was in many cases many of the service people coming back who, continuing their study, still felt that they had a certain amount of enjoyment coming and entertainment coming, and they were ones that created a lot of the atmosphere of gaiety, student activities, and so on. As I say, the interesting thing about Dave Hayward is that he eventually ended up as a minister. And in almost, not necessarily in complete contrast, but it is rather intriguing when you think back of some of the antics that he was involved in. They revived the swallowing of goldfish, and they staged some of the big marches down through the downtown areas. And then the key thought, or the impression you had mostly, was just one of being overcrowded, of constantly being looking for new space, of being in huge classes with large numbers of people, and the feeling as the students gradually came back of a change in atmosphere as the students became older and the whole outlook on the campus became a completely different view.
I guess it's remained that way now through the 50s too, don't you think?
No, I don't think it was quite the same. I think it's gradually, I think there's still a sense of responsibility there, but I think the age of the average student has dropped back, of course, quite considerably, because primarily the majority are still high school graduates who are extending and gone right on through high school. There was quite a shortage, of course, of graduate students at that time, because nearly all of them, immediately they graduated, were taken right on into industry or taken up in some form of the war effort. The first years out there, of course, there were still the activities of the officer training corps, which by this time had lost really its impact, in as much as most of the students who were out there were on deferments, either through medical deferments or some form of deferment, and weren't really eligible for the Army anyhow.
What about sports on the campus during the war?
Most of the sports involved were intramural or intercity. There were very limited sports that involved any form of travel whatsoever, because of course of the shortage of gasoline. The intramural program was quite large at the time, and of considerable interest. It involved, of course, the fraternities, involved several of the organizations there. The key sport at the time on the campus was basketball. Football had disappeared quite quickly once the war started, and didn't really make a comeback until 1945, when the students started coming back, and they went back into the Western Conference, the University Conference. Students still participated in a lot of the activities, but they were relatively limited in the types or forms of competition that they could have.
Have you noticed that UBC has any special feeling or flavor that another university in your experience hasn't?
No, quite frankly, I think it's the opposite way. I think probably it has less alumni spirit than most universities. Rather surprising. Partly, I think, though, because they don't have a very strong athletic program, which in itself pulls the people and at least gives them a feeling of belonging to the university, or gives them something to go back and be a part of the university through. This doesn't exist out there, and it's been my experience that the ties fall away much faster than it would seem from students who have gone to other universities.
What then do you think that UBC has contributed to the province and Canada and the world?
I think it's contributed a sound educational program. Its students come out of there well prepared. From all that I can find, or anything that I've run across, the standards are very acceptable wherever you go. They accept this as a top university academically, and they accept people, the graduates in almost any industry, as a well-respected college graduate. I don't think there's any feeling that its standards are abnormally high, or that it is an outstanding university overall. I'm not saying this in a derogatory sense. I'm merely saying that it doesn't, in the overall generality, say, carry the impact that you might expect, say, from Harvard, or you might expect even, say, from universities such as Stanford, which has a reputation in the entrance qualifications and so on that isn't found out there.
Well, how would you say that the role of university, when you went there, has changed?
I think that the majority of students who were out there at the time that I was out there were prepared to take just a BA degree or a Bachelor of Science degree or one degree. And I think that the university itself has expanded now so that it's become more of a stepping stone to many degrees. I think that in some senses it has tended to become more of a plant to produce people with degrees, rather than some of the broader ranges of discussion and so on that existed at the time, in which there was a little bit more feeling perhaps toward the humanities than exists today. I think there's a trend, a very definite trend, and a much larger emphasis on medicine, engineering, things of this nature than there are towards any of the things in the arts degrees, or in the fields of philosophy and this type of study.